Preparation for the end time. Lesson 13. The return of our Lord Jesus. The day of the Lord. Sabbath is the day of the Lord, but we are going to study on Sunday this theme, this topic, the day of the Lord. Many Christians think that the theme of the return of Jesus is something of the New Testament only. But we find it in the Old Testament as well. Let's have a look at Isaiah 13, verse 6. Wail for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. In this aspect, we see that it's a day of judgment. It can be very, very decisive. For the one, it is death, and for the other one, it is resurrection. It is a day of decision. Then it will be clear on which side you are, your neighbor is, your friend is, your husband, your wife, and so on. A very, very clear description we find in the prophet Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, Michael is synonym for Jesus, he will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. And what's going on then? But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book of life, everyone whose name is written in the book will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life, and the others to shame and everlasting contempt. Either or. Glory, dust. This is the message of the Old Testament. There will come a day when everything is clear. When everybody knows, oh, here or there. Therefore, we're going to prepare for the end time, so that we are on the right side when no one can decide any longer, because then it is too late when Jesus appears. When Jesus comes, this earth will end in a chaos. The surface of the land, of the earth, will be like waves of the sea. Not a single building will remain upright. Not a single one. The air around the planet will just whoosh, disappear. And then, all are dead. Therefore, those who are redeemed, they are collected by the angels and they snatch them with them. They take them to the cloud. This is the helicopter for the cosmos, for the universe. Here, there's no chance to survive. If the angels do not get you out here, how How will you survive without any air around? So the return of Jesus in the clouds with his angels is either safety or destruction. And the decision is made before this day of the Lord. On the day of the Lord, everything is clear. Either you're here or there. Daniel and the second coming of Jesus. The vision King Nebuchadnezzar dreamed is so impressive. And it was so impressive for the emperor that a slave, Daniel, dreamt the same dream. Something you've never heard before. And the king was so impressed when he heard the explanation of the dream. Remember, gold means Babylon, silver, Persian, bronze, brass, Greeks, feet, the legs of iron, Rome, and the feet, iron and clay. But then, and this is the point here, whoosh, a stone fell exactly on the feet. And because of this, the whole image crumbled to pieces. And in the end, you couldn't see them. Anyway, the pieces disappeared. We find the story in Daniel chapter 2, and it goes like this. Daniel talks to the king. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. And it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Yeah, well, then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. Nothing left. Nothing. Imagine, these were empires. Ah, nothing left. Nothing left. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. That's the difference. The image, gone. Whether it's Babylon or Persian or Greek or Rome, whatever. It's just without leaving anything. In Luke 20, we hear a very, very, very interesting story of Jesus telling to the Pharisees and the scribes, and he tells a parable, as Jesus often does. And in this parable, he talks about a vineyard and the people prepare everything. And in this story, Jesus asks the scribes. Jesus looked directly at them and asked them, "What is the meaning of that which is written?" Psalm 118. "The stone the builders rejected has become capstone, so the capital stone, the main stone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Now that's an interesting statement. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. That's very interesting. We have here a wonderful explanation of something. As humans, we are proud. And as long as we are not humble in front of the Lord, we will never be redeemed. But when this being proud disappears because we fell on this rock, because we discovered I am nothing and Jesus is everything, until there's a turnaround in our life towards Jesus, this is this falling on this rock. And this will produce a new creature. But if the rock falls on you so that you're under it, you will be smashed, crushed. Nothing will remain. These two extreme positions show either you are redeemed or you are lost forever. Long-term prospects. As a child, when you have a wish, you want this wish to be fulfilled in this very minute, isn't it? When a child is thirsty, mommy, and then, it's okay. When we get older, we have wishes. We want to have them fulfilled in this minute. But the reality is different. We discover, the wish is there. But the fulfillment, where's that? Far away. And for some aspects of life, we have to wait. Now, who likes to wait? Supermarket, cash desk, 10 people in front of you. You have to wait. At a medical doctor, you come into the room, waiting room. Should I really wait here? Well, waiting is not our hobby, isn't it? But it has some advantage, waiting, really. For example, if you have an educational goal to get a certain degree, a certain diploma, so that you can work in a special position, and it takes years to get there for this diploma. Hard work. You have to study But when you have managed it, when you are at the final end of all of this, and then you get this piece of paper into your hand, then you can read, it's really, my name is on it. My name. Yes, that's my birthday. That's me. They're talking about me. I've got this diploma. Oh, woo. That's something, isn't it? The more years, the higher the value. So waiting is hard. But when you have got it, then final victory, it's great, much greater than wanting it, getting it. God, that's no big victory. The same is in terms of spiritual things. The Apostle Paul writes to Titus in his letter, second letter, verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, listen, we wait for the blessed hope, waiting. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We wait for the blessed hope. And when the Apostle Paul was about to die, and he wrote his very last letter to his colleague, co-worker Timothy, he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering." His end is near. The Emperor Nero is going to kill him. "And the time has come for my departure." But not at the railway station. It's a departure of life from here. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished a race. I have kept the faith." I've kept the faith. "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance." Those who have longed for his appearance. When he comes, Jesus Christ with his angels on a cloud, waiting. It's good when you wait for the right thing to come. Then you will be redeemed. In the clouds of heaven. Thank you, O Lord, that you have said so wonderful sentences about your return. Matthew 24, verse 30. 2,000 years ago, the disciples heard the following words on the Mount of Olives. "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And all the nations of the earth will mourn." Why so? They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his select from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Some will mourn, and the others will shout with joy when he comes. So these texts show these opposites, these extremes. The ones who say, "Jesus, he doesn't exist," they will mourn then, on that very day. Oh, they will mourn. And those who longed for his appearance, they see their long-term expectations fulfilled. In Matthew 26, verse 64, we find the high priest, standing in front of Jesus. Tell me, if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he puts Jesus under oath. What's the answer? Yes, it is as you say, is the answer. I am the Son of God. But I say to all of you, not only to the high priest, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Wow. What a testimony, isn't it? He's put under oath. Tell us, are you the Son of God? And he says, you're right, I am. And to confirm this, he tells about this, what we can see on these three paintings. I will come with the clouds. I will come. You will see me. This will happen in future. Because now, they have put his hands together, tied together. But then, he will come as the King of Kings, as the King of the universe, and they will tremble. Therefore, he is going to tell them in advance, so that no one can say afterwards, sorry, we didn't know that he is the King of Kings. He told them he's the King of Kings, so they don't have any excuse. Not possible. He told them he's the Messiah. Another text which shows what will happen then when Jesus comes again, we find in the first letter to the Thessalonians. First letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ, they will rise first. After that, we, who are still alive and are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. That's our hope, our blessed hope. He will return. He will take us into the universe. Before that, he will change our body to a body who is able to live in the universe without air. We will get the body of Jesus when he was resurrected. These are presents, aren't they? The living and the dead. I'm so happy that the Apostle Paul had to leave his new founded churches so quickly, so early. Because of that, he was not there anymore. They had questions, and they asked these questions. They sent somebody with a list, and then Paul answered this. And we've got the answers in a written form. If he had stayed there for a longer time, he would have told them everything and they wouldn't have asked what they had asked because he was not there. In the first letter to the Corinthians, we get special informations about the dead in Christ. What will happen when the clouds in the sky can be seen. 1 Corinthians 15:50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. No chance. This body will never get there. Never. I tell you a mystery, Paul says. A mystery. And then it's no mystery anymore, isn't it? We will not all sleep. So not everybody will die. There will be people who live when Jesus comes again. But we will all be changed. How long does this take? Billions of years? In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Imagine, this happens quickly, in the twinkling of an eye, in a second. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Bah! And in his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul tells us, the dead ones will be risen up, because they sleep at first, they must get awake, and then they're changed. The living ones in Christ who are waiting for his appearance, you need not to wake them up, they are lively beings, and they are changed as well. And it's at the same time, it's not this group is first or this group is first, it's at the same time. Together, they move to what? It's the cloud, transported by the angels. It's such a wonderful perspective. You can hardly believe it, because it's so wonderful. When I look at this, what Paul says to us in the letter to the Philippians, he loved so much, we find about Jesus, he says, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Whew. Our lowly bodies will be like his glorious body. So when Jesus was resurrected, when he came out of his grave, he appeared here and there. He came into rooms which had been closed very carefully because they were afraid of the authorities, that they come and take them and crucify them like Jesus. But then, suddenly he's here. And suddenly, he's not here. We will get this body. Can you believe it? Wow! Summary. From time to time, things happen in our life. We did not want them to happen. And then we think about it. And our thoughts are like this, going down in a circle. Everything is gloomy and dark. And the more we go on like this, the worse. And it's good to change the view suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, that you say, stop. Okay, this happened. It's not something I'm happy about it. I didn't want this to happen, but it happened. That's reality. But my thoughts go towards long-term expectation. I switch over and think about what is going to be. There will be a little cloud in the sky. And then it will become bigger and bigger. And then a great one. Think about this moment, how it will be. When he returns with all his angels, and when the holy ones are collected, gathered together from this planet Earth. And when we are taken to the cloud and travel as fast as a lightning, quicker than a lightning, through the universe, to the center of the universe, to see where the Father sits on the throne. Think about these things when bad things happen to you. This will change your feelings completely. And think about Eden, the paradise, the new earth. It will not be crowded with cities. There's only one there, the New Jerusalem, your home basis. But most of the time, you won't be in there, but out of the city, in nature. Beautiful nature. All the earth will be the Garden Eden. Trees with fruits. Delicious. Think about that. How it will be to see all these different fruits, all these different tastes. Peace, no death, no pain, nothing of this kind, nothing. Just going on, being happy, fully satisfied, surrounded by people who love you. There isn't anyone doing harm to another one. No bad word. Not a single one. Just peace. Think about that. When the next gloomy aspects of life seem to enshroud you like fog, then whoosh, cut it through by new thinking. What is the best preparation for the end time? Think about Jesus. Look at his life. Look at his wonderful face. How he looks at you, smiles at you, watches you. Study all these happenings people had with him. And you will discover his love. Pure love. And then love will spring up in you. And you will love him. And this is the best preparation for the end time. Do you want to be there? We all, together with him. I hope we meet together there.